Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer Jake Nichols. Today, we are going to be going over the last 2 weeks of Tennessee practices and scrimmages. They actually wrapped up their second fall scrimmage today in the rain, which Heupel noted as a good experience for the team. But Jake, you've been at the center of it all on Haslam Field, covering these practices for VR2, which is obviously what we're going to be getting into today, specifically focusing on the running back group and the receivers. Then later on, we will briefly update the quarterback competition and the drama surrounding Brian Maurer. But first, Jake, how you been the last 2 weeks, man?
Man, I'm doing well. You know, it's obviously not been nearly as much of a grind for me going through fall camp as it has been for these guys, but still been fun being out at Haslam Field every day and around the complex. You know, you can feel the energy in the air change with Josh Heupel, and just kind of this word is obviously overused a lot in college football now, but culture. But you know, you can't say enough about the energy he's created and the optimism around this team, and how every time we talk to one of these players, they talk about how it's just a completely different vibe, and you can really feel that, and it kind of exudes from them when they're on the practice field, and then whenever they're in availability as well. But man, just say a few more weeks until kickoff against Bowling Green. So counting down the days. But yeah, like I said, a lot of energy and optimism around the facility. And it's been really fun these past couple weeks getting to see an early look at Josh Heupel's first team at Tennessee. So it should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned energy and culture. Do you notice day to day the kind of attitude change between the players and the coaches as the season draws near, like more excitement, more energy?
Oh yeah. You know, every day it kind of ratchets up a little more, you know, especially once the pads started popping and once they put them on, you know, you can notice a change in energy. But it's just, like I said before, just really fun to see kind of the positivity, I guess, that is exuded from this coaching staff. And the way that they're hands-on with guys and the way that they approach mistakes and the way that they approach going about things and, you know, just kind of wanting to make sure that their guys go through the process the right way and that, you know, that everything they do is done with a purpose. And so that's really been fun to watch up close, that it's not just, you know, lip service in the press conferences, but you can really see it being acted out on the practice field and then just around the facility as well.
Yeah, man, of course. And speaking of mistakes, people, do not make a mistake and book travel without using Accurate Travel Company by Dream Vacations. Because if you're looking to book travel at any time and don't want to do all the work, just be sure and contact Beth and Price at Accurate Travel Company and let them do the work for you. They're currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card right now to book with them. I mean, what's there to lose? Give them a call now to find that dream vacation. All right, Jake. So kind of continuing on, I threw our ad in there a little bit. I saw a window.
Nice segue, by the way. That was well done.
Yeah, I know. It just came in my brain when you mentioned mistakes, and I'm like, oh, bam, got it. So
there you go.
Worked out well. But yeah, just last 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since we've potted here. So just what have you seen? And then we can get into what you've seen with the running backs and the receivers.
Yeah, overall, just we've had a few different updates, of guys kind of working out on the side, but QB is obviously the center of all the attention right now. Not much update there from Josh Heupel today, but we'll get into that later. Running backs, obviously, we're touching on that here, but I think it's a very inexperienced group, but one that still promotes a lot of optimism, or should. Just given the talent level within that group and the kind of the maturity level within that room as well. Obviously, a few questions at tight end right now. You've got guys like Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren, the veterans of the group that are going to lead on the field. But then, you know, you also have younger guys like Miles Campbell, who has really worked his way into this rotation, I think, through camp and could be a very pleasant surprise come fall. He's got good size. And he's got good range, good speed, and could, if something happens, could crack a starting lineup or could be a very positive note, even as a freshman. And, you know, he moves in a way that is not like a freshman. You know, he doesn't move scared or timidly. He, you know, takes his approaches well and runs routes well. Wide receivers, obviously, we're going to touch on those as well. But obviously, Velus Jones and Jalin Hyatt, a couple leaders in that room. But then also, you've got guys like Javonte Payton that have arrived on the scene that could get big minutes. And Cedric Tillman, I think, could be a very big and pleasant surprise this season as well. You know, we've seen a lot from him in camp, and he spoke to that a little bit yesterday. Offensive line still adjusting. I think from what Heupel said that they adjusted well today in their scrimmage, but still trying to kind of figure out that five. You've got a guy like Darnell Wright that's moved from right to left that's still kind of going through his adjustment. But then a lot of experience with that group. Obviously, a big loss in Trey Smith from last year, but still plenty of experience, especially with Cade and Cooper Mays. The D-line, I think that it's been a positive so far, but also you've got to think about kind of the inexperience of guys there as well with Dejon Terry and you know, can guys like, and well, Dejon Terry and Caleb Tremblay, you know, can guys like that make the transition from Kansas and USC respectively and immediately create havoc on SEC offenses? That's kind of the question that Tennessee is looking for. And obviously we will find out that answer soon enough. Outside linebacker is kind of that same question. Can a guy like Byron Young step up and be that answer immediately for Tennessee on the edge and be able to set that, or maybe like a guy like Morvin Joseph, how would he fare, you know, in that role and you know, adjusting to this new defense and the way that Tim Banks has set it up. Inside linebacker, I think that you still need to see more from Juwan Mitchell. We've seen a lot of athleticism and a lot of ease with which he moves so far. Very kind of becoming of him, I guess, given the experience that he had and just the level that he produced at Texas. You know, he was the Longhorns' leading tackler coming into Tennessee. Right. And so I think that he's a plug-and-play guy. But aside from that, you know, you've still got to kind of look around that group and need another playmaker to step up as well. And then DB, I think, perhaps might be the deepest group that Tennessee has, just a wide range of experience. You've got guys like Alante Taylor and Theo Jackson leading the way there in experience. But you've also got young guys like Christian Charles that transfers too, like Kamal Haddon and Brandon Turnage, that could be competing for spots as well and that have impressed so far. So, you know, like I've said in other podcasts, Josh Heupel has done a good job of rating the transfer portal, but Tennessee would still like a lot more depth than what they have right now. And so, you know, yeah, I think I said it with Matt as well, but, you know, below kind of that first level of starters across the board, there's still a myriad of questions. And even all those starters obviously are not ironed out yet, but you know, obviously, like we said before, a lot of questions still at QB and no real update there from Josh Heupel. But as far as the guys that he is, or that whoever takes the field at quarterback, whoever he's throwing to, that there will certainly be a wide variety of targets.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned the lack of depth, and obviously it's a new, you know, coaching regime, new everything. So it's going to grow from here on. And obviously you have to rebound from what happened in January with, you know, the investigation and all that.
That people have kind of forgotten about that a little bit, I think, but you know, yeah, Danny White Danny White gave an update on that the other day. And so you still have to kind of think about the cloud that holds over the program and what still could be coming down the pike for Josh Heupel and his team. You know, despite the optimism that this offense has created, that there are still depth issues, but so many off the field concerns as well, with with the investigation and everything surrounding that. And then I forgot to mention this a minute ago, but on the offensive line front, obviously, Kieron Calvert is a guy that Tennessee will desperately miss for however long he is out. So that is yet another concern, I think, for Glenn Ellerbe. I apologize. I had forgotten to include that a minute ago, but yeah, continue.
No, you're good. Yeah. So thanks for giving a general rundown of what's been going on with every position group. So now we can kind of transition to the running backs and receivers. So, you know, obviously Jabari Small is leading this running back group. Tyon Evans is impressing. So, you know, just kind of give a rundown of all these players and then give us your favorite sleeper and breakout for this group.
Yeah. So I think that as far as just the top two, you nailed it. Obviously Jabari Small and Tyon Evans. We had media availability yesterday with Jerry Mack, and he noted that those are kind of the 1A and 1B right now, as far as Small and Evans, that obviously both are young. Tyon Evans having come from Hutchinson Community College, and then Jabari Small, just a sophomore on this team, but still a very mature presence. When I asked Jerry Mack about Jabari's presence in the film room and just kind of his maturity level, he talked about how he leads by example and how valuable that is, even just to have that in a guy that's only a sophomore. So obviously those are your first and second guys. Jabari Small, more the shifty runner and more the guy that's going to run more with finesse, and Tyon Evans, more the power back, more the, I guess, bruiser, if you will, that's not afraid to lower his shoulder, run over somebody, which, you know, none of these guys are afraid to lower their shoulder from what we've heard. But Tyon, I think, especially could be interesting because Jerry Mack talked about his versatility, how he can go out in routes and just how excited they are to use him in different ways. So both of those guys will, as Jerry Mack said, and as we've talked about all offseason, will be quite the 1-2 punch, I think, for Tennessee with Jabari Small and Tyon Evans. But outside of them, obviously you look at D. Beckwith, who he's, you know, like 6'5", I think. And you obviously don't think of that as a running back. But then again, Josh Heupel mentioned it, I think, the other day in discussing D. Beckwith, that, you know, hey, there's a guy down in Nashville that's pretty tall too. That's a pretty stellar running back as well. So, you know, obviously that could lend itself as an advantage in a way, but D, from what we've heard, is still having a little trouble with his pad level, hasn't quite been able to get down to the level that they'd like, that, you know, as a tall guy, that, you know, even when he thinks he's low, he's not low enough. But obviously a good presence there, and one that's versatile, I think, given his size, as far as being able to get outside and maybe, if you think about, you know, screen passes or getting him in the open field, it could certainly be dangerous. But then I think that also, you know, you mentioned the sleeper. I think that it would definitely be Jalen Wright right now, that, you know, people have talked about his speed, but I don't think it's being thought about enough, that Jabari Small has the shiftiness. Tyon Evans has the bruising ability and I think more versatility than almost any other guy in this room. But Jalen Wright's speed could be dangerous when it's used at the right time, especially with the tempo of this offense. I think that the variety in this room ultimately is what makes it really dangerous, because you've got a very diverse combo of backs that could make this room really, really fun to watch. Like I said, despite the inexperience, that people should still be very optimistic about Tennessee's running back room right now.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, I know I'm excited. Obviously, it's a rebound year after losing Eric Gray and Ty Chandler, but yep. I saw at the spring game what we're capable of doing. Even someone like Fred Orr impressed. So, you know, and we got quarterbacks who can set up a great run game. You know, Hooker and Milton can scare people with their legs, more so Hooker, obviously, but, you know, we can set this up for a great running game.
Yeah. And don't forget about Harrison Bailey's legs as well. You know, people have talked about Milton and Hooker's legs, but Bailey, when he needs to, we saw it, I think, a little bit last season, but if he needs to get 15, 20 yards on a scramble and there are corners downfield covering routes, he can certainly do it. And he's got some speed. You know, there's a picture of him from today's scrimmage of him tucking the ball and sprinting down the field. So, you know, he's got range as well. and he's got some wheels. So all three of these quarterbacks kind of bring, you know, very different components to the field. But obviously that's a different discussion and one that we'll get into again in a little bit. But yeah, all three of those guys could make things very interesting considering the variety of running backs that he has.
Right, absolutely. And we can go ahead and shift over to the receivers. So, you know, you mentioned Sed Till, Javonte Payton, the transfer. Obviously, yep. Bayless Jones, huge, you know, huge poster boy for the Vols, really. He's, you know, one of the most popular Vols we have. But who have you seen in practice that has impressed as of note? And who has you got for your breakout and your sleeper?
I'm going to say breakout is absolutely Cedric Tillman. You know, we've seen several flashes from him this preseason, you know, and Tennessee has shared them pretty much every time he has a big catch. It's going on Twitter, it's going on Instagram. So the range that we've seen from him is really impressive. I watched the other day, I think you should be able to go find it on my Twitter at jnichols_2121. There's a video of Tillman going up and high pointing a ball with one hand and bringing it down in a really impressive grab. And he's done that several times this offseason and talked just about how he has learned to high point the football, and it's really paid off. So I think Tillman is my breakout player. And then I would say a sleeper right now could be Javonte Payton based on what we've seen. His route running is really good, and he's just very crisp as far as that is concerned. And I think that is the most impressive thing from him outside of his ability to roar out of the parking lot after practice, which if you have paid attention at all to Twitter or to anything relating to Tennessee's wide receiver core, you've probably heard something about Javonte. But yeah, I would say sleeper is Javonte Payton. Breakout is Cedric Tillman. We've seen glimpses from Tillman before, but I think that this season that he could turn into Tennessee's ultimate red zone threat. Obviously, you know what you're getting in Jalin Hyatt. You're getting the speed, and you're getting breakaway speed that can be dangerous in Josh Heupel's offense. He told us today or yesterday, actually yesterday, I'm sorry, the days are running together at this point. He told us yesterday that when Josh Heupel got to Tennessee, that at one point he sat down with Jalin Hyatt and told him, this offense is for you. And so when you think about that and you think about his speed and the way it factored into Tennessee's game last year, despite the 3-7 record, that it could be even more fun to watch from him this year. And then obviously, Bayless Jones, you've got a leader. You've got somebody that is incredibly fast. We've seen great glimpses of him in practice. One clip I got of him the other day, he sped off the line, and I think Hendon Hooker probably threw the ball 50, 60 yards, or it may not have been that far. Anyway, Hooker threw an absolute bomb, to say the least, and Bayless sped off the line so fast that he had to slow down to catch Hooker's bomb that just was soaring through the air. So, I mean, like to say that Bayless Jones off the line of scrimmage is dangerous is an understatement, because this dude, I'm surprised there aren't flames coming up whenever he takes off at the snap. It's really impressive. And so I think that's one thing that fans should be really excited to see from him, but also just the leadership aspect from him. He's a friendly guy. He jokes around with the media and with his younger counterparts, but you know, he is a guy that you can tell that takes some of these younger guys under his wing, kind of coaches them up a little bit, that helps them on things that they need to work on, encourages them, and really kind of keeps this unit together. And so I'm sure that Cody Burns has to be really thankful for that. But altogether, like I said, a very versatile wide receiver core as well, and one that should be really, really fun to watch in Josh Heupel's high-powered offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned in Bayless, every locker room needs that, you know, leadership presence. So it's really good to hear. Yep. But I wanted to ask you before we move on, have you noticed any special quarterback receiver, like hookups been going on, like special relationships being formed between any of the three quarterbacks you know, really, and many of these receivers?
Not necessarily, except for the fact that every wide receiver knows that they've got to prepare for a bullet whenever Joe Milton throws the football.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I think that that's the only thing that I've noted, but obviously that's not really relating to relationships or anything like that, just kind of what they expect.
Right.
But I think that the main thing that's being formed right now is just bonds and chemistry on the field, because you see the three quarterbacks. Obviously Ryan Mauer has not been out there. We'll talk about that here in a minute, but you see the three quarterbacks working and rotating there are more than three quarterbacks, I should say. You've got other guys like Spencer Smith and a couple others on the roster, but the three most likely vying for the starting job, I should say.
Exactly.
That have been rotating with several different receivers. They're putting them around with different running backs. They're getting them experience with several different guys so that they are familiar with each of them. And so I don't think you can say that there's really a bond that's been formed specifically between one quarterback and receiver. I feel like maybe there have been a few nice hookups between Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker, and then Bayless Jones. It seems like they've both had several nice balls to him, but that's about all I can think of. It doesn't really seem like anything other than that.
All right, gotcha. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the quarterbacks. So just tell us what you know about Brian Mauer. Obviously, he doesn't seem to be happy with the coaching staff here at Tennessee with really anything going on. You know, he posted the cryptic tweet about, you know, 4 days or they killed my dream or whatever it was, but you know, just kind of get into it and tell us what you know.
Yeah. So, that you about nailed it. I know about as much as you do, but that the coaching staff and Josh Heupel sat down with him last week and informed him that his reps would be decreased, that he, you know, would not be in line for the starting position. And, he kind of went off at that point and, you know, posted the cryptic tweet and, you know, put the cryptic message on Instagram, and then just hasn't shown up. You know, whenever we walked out after, I think it was his first or second day of not being there, I walked out and of course there he was right there in front of the facility. And Matt and I talked about that in a video the other day. Probably wasn't a coincidence that he was sitting out there at the time, but apparently he and Josh Heupel, Heupel said a few days ago that they were supposed to have a meeting on Friday and that he would provide an update after that, but then no update as of today, as far as Brian Mauer is concerned. Don't believe he's in the transfer portal, but he is still listed on the roster. So, you know, still a myriad of questions concerning number 18, and no one can really say where he goes from here at this point, because at this point you don't know, because you know you have to think there's not really a way that you can transfer and be eligible obviously right now, and even right. If somehow he did transfer and become eligible, which he can't, then you know other teams are already kind of figuring out their own competitions, wouldn't want to take on somebody else at this point. And so you have to kind of wonder what Brian Mauer does. He's missed I think 5 days of practice at this point. And then today's scrimmage and just consistently not showing up. So you have to wonder kind of where his head's at and how it's going to unfold from here. It's certainly a very intriguing saga to continue preseason camp.
So I don't know if you know the answer, but if he doesn't show up and he just, you know, no news breaks about the transfer portal, what's going to happen to him?
Man, I really can't say. I have no idea. You know about as much as I do. I mean, this is, you know, if that were to go on that long without any news breaking all the way up until Bowling Green, then I think that would be unprecedented in college football.
Yeah,
but,
I gotcha.
You know, I really don't know.
Well, I guess we'll have to see what shakes. But anything else you want to add about Bailey, Milton, Hooker, anything in practice before we head out?
Other than that, I guess just that we've seen positives from all three, and that it seems like each one has become a good leader in his own right. But, you know, as far as the competition itself right now, it is still just very fuzzy, I think. And, you know, Josh Heupel said today when asked if there was any separation among the group that, you know, he would kind of be the first to let us know. But that kind of tells you where they're at right now. Just, you know, if they have seen anything, then obviously keeping it under wraps, but also still just trying to scope things out as we start to narrow the days down to kickoff.
Right, yeah. Well, before we end, I want to do something fun. We don't get into games a lot, but I want to do one right now. So with these three quarterbacks, I know I'm putting you on the spot here. This is completely off the script or anything, but between Bailey, Milton, and Hooker, I want you to give a pro comparison, can be past or present, for each of the quarterbacks.
Okay. Let's see. For Milton, I think the obvious and what's been talked about already, Cam Newton. You know, he's big, he's got a big arm, and he's got mobile ability that's, you know, a lot like Cam Newton. And so I would compare it to him, and he's got the size similar. You know, whenever we walked up to him at media availability, it was, I think if I remember right, I read a Gene Chizik book a few years ago in which he talked about the first time he was introduced to Cam Newton and said that the first time he walked up to him, he thought it was a defensive end. Well, KJ said the same thing about Joe Milton. And so you can kind of see where the comparison fits there as well. Harrison Bailey, I'm trying to think. I really don't know. Maybe
he almost reminds me of Alex Smith. Like because Alex Smith has that sneaky speed. And yeah, Bailey has a bigger arm.
He also has good touch on the ball. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Bailey probably has a bigger arm because Smith was always throwing
Hooker,
the pass and stuff.
I could say maybe a I could say maybe like Tyrod Taylor, which kind of fits considering their Virginia Tech background, but I do think they're similar quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, all right, cool. That was fun. Jake, you want to hop on for another pod at the end of this week, talk some more practices stuff?
Man, that sounds good. I'll be able to at some point late Friday night, but I'm calling a game Friday, but then I'll be good to go after that.
All right, sounds good. Well, if not this week, then we'll definitely be back with you guys next Tuesday. Jake and I for sure will hopefully get Matt to hop on here, but be sure and follow Jake at jnichols_2121. He said it earlier. He's going to be updating you all throughout the season from Haslam Field, from Neyland Stadium. So be sure and follow him. You can also give me a follow at Jack Foster TV. And as always, give VR2 on SI follow at VR2 on SI. Going to have a show next.
Do want to mention that as well. I will be on the football coverage for VR2 on SI this fall. So for everything from Neyland Stadium, like Jack said, be sure and give me a follow because I will be there for every home game. We'll be in the press box at Neyland, so we will have you covered between myself and the box, and then I know Jack will be around as well, and then of course Matt and Dale, so we will have you guys covered all around.
Absolutely. Hey Jake, next podcast you want to do offensive line and defensive line?
Yep, sounds good. And then you better bring me another fun game.
Okay, I'll be sure and think about that. Classes start tomorrow, so.
Just not tic-tac-toe. I suck at that.
Okay, not tic-tac-toe. We need to play, like, Tennessee football, like, trivia or something one day.
There you go.
There's not a lot going on.
There you go.
Well, anybody, before we head out here, I want to tell you all that we love all of you guys' support, which allows us to do what we love week in and week out, and that is to talk Tennessee sports. Stay tuned for another football pod next week. And for Jake, I am Jack Foster, and we will catch all of you wonderful people next time.